whatever your credit history, you can still be a winner in the online world of video games. The subject of a new book, Dungeons and Dreamers, The Rise of Computer Game Culture from Geek to Chic. Chic or not, one of the co-authors, John Borland, says the roots of the computer game are found in role-playing games like Dungeons and Dragons. John Borland, how did those kinds of games get into the computer?
The kind of people who played it were often computer programmers, students in colleges that were just getting exposed to computer culture at that time. They saw these games, they played these games, and they wanted to reproduce them on the kind of computers that they were just learning how to program. And that wound up with a lot of very simple role-playing games on computer networks through the 70s. And people saw those and just kept making more complicated versions of them throughout the 80s and 90s.
How is it that these games became so popular so fast? I mean, you write that people actually spend more money on these games today than they do on movies, going to movies. That's astounding.
The games that are very popular are ones where you really do play with other people. The strongest games, the ones that last the longest, are ones where people create communities online and it really feeds off each other. It's really a very organic process.
There's a central figure who appears in your book, Richard Garriott. Tell me about him.
Richard Garriott is a fascinating figure. He's created very complex games. He had introduced a system of ethics where people had to think about the consequences of their actions. And that those kind of complex game systems really resonated well with people. This happened in the mid-80s, and there really wasn't anything like that at the time. People were used to very simple video games and computer games where you killed orcs, you killed other monsters in the game, and you didn't have to worry about consequences. It really opened people's eyes to the idea that this was art in a way. This could address many of the same themes that literature and, you know, the best movies could.
We all think of these game players, I think, as being teenage boys and men in their 20s and 30s. But you also write about a young woman from Nova Scotia by the name of Vangie Beale. Who is she in the gaming community?
She is one of the founders of a gaming group called the Psycho Menslayers.
Psycho Menslayers, they're also known as PMS?
Yes, PMS was the main name of the clan. But she was one of the most prominent people in sort of a late 90s movement of women really coming online and playing what looked like very bloody, very aggressive, typically male-dominated games.
John Borland, did you play games before you started writing this book? And did your experience of writing this book change the way you experience computers, the way you go online and what you do?
Absolutely. I grew up playing video games. As far as changing my view of computers, what it's really taught me is that game playing is a social activity, whether it's poker, whether it's Monopoly, or whether it's computer gaming. I'd always accepted some of the stereotype that a gamer was someone who sat alone in front of his computer. Experiencing it as the computer as a gateway into another community was something that really was underlined for me while writing this book.
John Borland, co-author of the new book Dungeons and Dreamers and senior writer at CNET Networks News.com in San Francisco, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.